That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky present a power word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint and gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process.
Did you already ask that? Okay.
It works. Grand piano.
If it's Friday and Bill Belichick is skulking around the Falcons practice facility in a fake nose and mustache, then it's Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM, Lexington Community Radio. My co-host is the second-to-last Jedi, Benjaneer Wolf.
Hey, Kyle.
I am the fourth Jedi from the left, Kyle Bigelow.
How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Our third co-Jedi, Station Jedi Manager, and Jedi to the Stars, Chuck C., will be on for the 1 o'clock hour to share beard braiding tips, presumably, and speak with the Director of Arts and Cultural Affairs for Mayor Gray, Lori Houlihan. Our first guest today is Bill Farmer, President and CEO of United Way of the Bluegrass. We're going to ask him about his predictions for Episode 8 and whether or not he thought The Force Awakens was overrated. I think it was.
How about, would you like better, Rogue One or The Force Awakens? And I think there's only one answer to that. It's Rogue One.
Now, see, we'll end up, if we go down this route, we'll end up wrestling. If Bill agrees with you, then we'll get off on the wrong foot. No, we're going to have a conversation with him about Together Lexington and their series of meetings called Courageous Conversations starting next month. But first, Ben, I've taken up a new practice, and you'll appreciate this one. I listen to the second hour of the show, despite it having markedly little amount of me. Starting with last week, you had on the vice mayor, Steve Kay.
Yeah.
He was in studio.
Yes.
And he was excellent.
Yes, he was a lot of fun. Talked a lot. You know how much I like that.
We got some center point talk in. I heard that.
Yeah.
You're a lifelong Lexingtonian.
That's true.
Of a noob here. What did you learn about your fair city?
I think the first thing that popped to mind was the microbreweries he talked about as being just sort of the main new economic power in the city. And he mentioned that, 10 years ago, no microbreweries, and now here we are, 2017, if you can believe it. And that's the only beer I drink anymore, is stuff from West 6, Country Boy. It's all local, at least from the state. And I thought, we're fueling Lexington's economy with beer.
What are there, four now? The actual breweries.
There's Country Boy, there's West 6.
Ethereal. And Blue Stallion.
I think, there's got to be more, isn't there? There's one.
I think those are the main, if there are.
Yeah, and there's Kentucky Brewing Company.
Okay. That's the one that's not a restaurant, right?
That's right. That's the place.
That's interesting. That's kind of taking over the entire country, right? I mean, I can remember in my lifespan, and I'm 30, I can remember clearly even 10 years ago, the home brewing becoming this. Because the standard forever was just you got your Coors and your Miller, I'm from St. Louis. If it's not a Budweiser, then you can take your butt down the road.
Oh, man. But now that's the biggest microbrewery in the country for St. Louis, Budweiser.
Yeah.
But home brewing's been around. I mean, my friends were doing it 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Before they were, that's because they weren't legally allowed to drink, but you know.
Well, it's been popularized, I feel like, kind of slowly.
It's definitely a 21st century.
I mean, that's where this comes from, right? Like you're the outside kind of the dark horse, so to speak, of breweries would have been something like you get a Corona or a Heineken or something like that.
Sure,
like
that was
a weird one.
Yeah, that's now, how fancy you got.
Any restaurant you go to, they're going to have a selection of taps from around the area.
Absolutely, yeah. And so that was my generation starting it.
Well, there you go.
I just
want
to take credit for that.
And, I appreciate that.
But yeah, it's apparently a big deal for Kentucky's economy. It's keeping money in the state, and in local businesses, which we need to do more of, obviously. And we talked about that, and yeah, got some CenterPoint talk in there because that's my favorite topic as far as Lexington issues nowadays. Because
he was encouraging.
I am the only person who likes the big hole in construction downtown.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know what it is about it.
You
maybe
just love
it's
misery.
It could be. It could also be that I like to see construction taking place inside a city that. Says
well, so
to
then
me,
you don't like the hole.
Well, no, I do like the hole. Well, as long as people are working in the hole.
Right.
And there's movement in the hole.
That's key.
I like the hole much better. Yeah, the stationary kind of thing. Yeah, no, that's no good. But when I see construction, I see people working, that tells me improvements are being made to the city and people are taking their home seriously and their downtown seriously and progress and buildings. And the vice mayor mentioned, do we want to grow up or do we want to grow out?
Right.
And the consensus in Lexington is, well, up, because we don't want to go into the horse farms, into the surrounding gray
areas. He pointed out what the issue is of growing up, and that's increased population density in a town that's not created for it. I mean, I drive through downtown. I go out towards Lee's Town to get to work every day, and it's like, it's very he was saying, and I agree with you, better to go up than out and destroy all of our beautiful horse farms, as though we could ever wrestle them away from these massively wealthy people anyway. But yeah, it's ultimately good. And driving past it today, you can see a difference. It's not just 15 guys moving 2x4s from one end of the lot to the other. Like, they have that garage. Like, there's a new level.
Yeah, that's exciting. It's good. I like it.
It's an improvement.
And, you're not from Lexington. I am. I'll tell you exactly how to get through the city without ever having to be on New Circle Road, Nicholasville Road, Richmond Road, or Leestown in Maine.
Well, unfortunately, I work on Leestown, so that one will have to be, unless you have a helicopter.
Well, I can get you a side, that sort of back way over.
What, like there's Versailles?
Maybe.
Versailles to Alexandria?
No, it's Old Frankfort. You want to take Old Frankfort.
Okay. Well, I'll pull out a map off air. We can figure out my route to work. So we got Bill Farmer on, and this is kind of going off of that. He's the president and CEO of the United Way of the Bluegrass, and he's part of this organization that's newly minted. It's fresh. It's called Together Lexington, and we'll give you all the information on that as we go along. But it's an open kind of project endeavor. There's 17 sponsors there. They're luminaries from around the area, people whose names you've certainly heard, or if not that, then the organizations that they head.
Yes.
And they've put together a sum of money, and they're taking community
suggestions,
yes, on what sort of projects to fund and carry out. Very so cool. Along those, the first one, this Courageous Conversations, it is...
what we do every week.
Right, that's right. Only here on Bluegrass Bios. It's the first project, I guess you could call it project, that they're doing. It's actually perhaps somewhat in conjunction with the city's comprehensive plan. We'll talk to Bill about that. But the first thing that they're doing is putting together these forums that are conversations about some of the key issues going on in Lexington. Did you have an opportunity to ask Steve Kay about some of the things that aren't going as well Did he answer any of those? Or do you wish now that maybe you could have asked him something along those lines?
I think in retrospect, I wish we could have gone. I could have dug deeper and maybe held his feet to the fire.
He's a politician. He probably wouldn't have answered it.
Yeah, yeah. And he's the vice mayor of a city. And I think more of the questions I have are regarding state government. And sure. Well, we did ask him a little bit about who can supersede who. Can the city ignore a state, and how much power does a state have over a city?
Right.
And I think in particular, the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court and stuff like that. But next time.
Next time. When we're going to take a little break, and we're going to bring on Bill Farmer here in just a minute. He is he's waiting in the wings, and he is a man who has valuable time, or whose time is valuable, I should say. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community Radio.
Supermercado Aguascalientes grocery stores offer domestic and imported quality products with an ample selection of fresh produce and meats. Aguascalientes offers international money transfer services as well as domestic and international phone services. Supermercado Aguascalientes No. 2 is located at 459 New Circle Road in Lexington, Kentucky. Supermercado Aguascalientes No. 5 is located at 2220 Nicholasville Road in Lexington. For more information, you can call 859-275-2121. Lexington Community Radio thanks Supermercado Aguascalientes for supporting True Community Radio.
Historia y su leyenda y sus viejas tradiciones de la noble tierra azteca, corazón de corazones.
Live the American dream. Choose a new home that uses less water. If your next home bears the WaterSense label, you'll save about 10,000 gallons per year. That makes sense for you, for our environment, and for the generations to come. Even if you're not in the market for a new home, you can join the We're for Water campaign. For more information, visit www.epa.gov/watersense.
Tune in to Urban Conversations
every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. on 93.9 WLXU.
Come sit in the lounge with us. I'm your host, Janice.
And I'm your host, Future, where your voice matters.
Any questions?
We're back on Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. I'm Kyle. He's Ben.
Hey, Kyle.
And we're joined in studio by the president and CEO of United Way of the Bluegrass, Mr. Bill Farmer. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Kyle and Ben?
Very
welcome
well
to the studio. This is so you've been to the school, but you haven't been to LCR. Is that right?
That is correct. And I tell you, it feels like Mississippi in here. You got heat and humidity.
That's right. We call it the hot seat. So prepare for a number of now not invasive questions. We're gonna ask you about Together Lexington. It's a new initiative to improve the quality of life in the community. You're one of 17 sponsors. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And who else comprises this committee of sorts?
Well, again, they're across the spectrum. You have Rufus Friday, the publisher of the Hero Leader. You have Ann Baucus, who is the owner of the one of the beer distributors. Larry Jones, who is head of one of the banks. So it's a group of kind of eclectic of leaders in the community, both on the nonprofit and for-profit side of the ledger.
And how did you get involved?
Well, I think it's consistent with the work that we're doing with the United Way, which is to move people to self-sufficiency. And so this actually started with the McClatchy newspapers and how the McClatchy papers across the country was evaluating issues and concerns in their communities, and they were making decisions on a city-by-city basis. And so Rufus asked if I would love to participate. We had to put some funding in, because the fact of the matter is you can talk about all the things you want to do, but if you don't have funding or money to support them, it makes it a bit difficult. And so he found 16 other organizations in the community that was willing to come together, talk about what it is we could do. And we spent about 6 months, quite frankly, trying to decide what it is we were going to do and how we were going to do it. And the very first thing that we landed on was this community conversation.
So how does this work? So part of this effort of Together Lexington, correct me if I'm wrong here, is there's you're going to be taking community suggestions on how to fund these projects that you intend to improve the community. Is that right?
That is correct. But the fact of the matter is there could be other things that people recommend outside of the five or six that we've recommended. So that's why we wanted to have the community conversations, because often what happens, and you probably, both of you, have been in situations where you are making decisions for others without any real impact or input from them. And if you're really going to make the kind of systemic change that we're talking about in our region and our communities, we need to hear from people in the communities.
And the so you've met once with the community, right, at recently?
Yes.
At the ballpark?
At the ballpark, at Whitaker Ballpark. What we've tried to do is, and our effort is to make sure that we're having these community conversations at a time and a location that makes it easy for people to come and visit and talk. So, for instance, Andy Shea, the president of the baseball team here.
Lexington Legends.
volunteered to have the very first meeting at his shop at the ballpark in one of the rooms. And what made that attractive is that it was on the bus route. So people who wanted to come but didn't have transportation would be able to take mass transportation and get there, public transportation, and get there. These are different than what you perhaps are thinking of, which would be a mass of people in a room
right.
talking. What we've said is that we really want to be able to ask questions and get input. So we limit it to about 35 people. We actually have people who are responsible for managing the communication, so it's not, you know, the Wild Wild West where people are just talking at nauseam. And so there are facilitators there, and people are taking notes because this is a legitimate effort to understand the differences that people have and how we can work through them. So we're using facilitators from Eastern Kentucky University to help us with this process.
And it's a sign-up.
Yes, it's a sign-up.
And you can sign up at togetherlexington.com or get more information. What was the focus of your first forum meeting?
Well, ironically, it was about race relations. And being a person of color, being African-American, I had actually very little to do with that being the first one. If you take a look at the demographics of the committee, there are 17 members. Two of them are African-American, 15 are not. And it was as much the 15 that are not that were driving the discussion. And a large part of it, to be quite frank with you, came out of Commerce Lexington's trip out of from here to Charleston, South Carolina. And every year the chamber has a trip to a city and visits the city to understand what's driving their economic development. And the decision had already been made to visit Charleston. Well, within that year, you had the shooting at Mother Emanuel Church. And the last session that the chamber had was held in that church. Wow. And it had such a dramatic effect of the people who attended. Because often you see these kinds of things, these horrific acts on television, but they, while you're empathetic and sympathetic, it really has minimal impact on you because you're not living in that community, you're not where it actually is occurring. And for people to be in the church where those murders occurred, the assassinations occurred, had such a profound effect that when they came back, they said, we need to have a series of conversations about race relationships. And so the first one was in at Whitaker Ballpark on Monday. The second one is February 2nd. At BCTC at Newtown campus. Ironically, both of them are completely filled. The first one was filled, and now the second one is filled. So the question is, if we're going to have a third one, at this point we're not planning on it, but if something happens and the community says we really want to continue to have this discussion, we will.
The first focus was race relations, and same for your at BCTC, your next community/courageous conversation. Is it intentional to be the first topic brought up in this series?
Actually, it was not intentional. It was just kind of randomly. It's hard to describe. We were just sitting, talking, and the discussions were occurring during the time of the presidential election. And given the kind of divisiveness that was going on at the time, I think it was top of mind. And so people said, well, why don't we talk about race relationships coming out of the box? The next one, quite frankly, is about gentrification. And that there have been some discussions that as Lexington's inner city is being gentrified, the people are being displaced. And that is causing a tremendous amount of angst in certain communities.
They sort of go hand in hand.
The third is police and crime. The fourth is drugs and heroin. Mm. The fifth is affordable housing. And then the sixth is LGBT inclusion. So you can see these are very sensitive issues for the community. But the fact of the matter is if we don't address them, it doesn't mean that they're going away. It just means that nobody's talking about them except in the communities. And it's creating a level of frustration. You know, the mayor had his State of the City address yesterday. And I think these kinds of conversations, these kind of courageous conversations, fit within the perception that Lexington is very different than the rest of the state. And quite frankly, a very unique community in and within itself. That the community is willing to have these tough discussions before there's a major problem in the community, in the city. And I think this is a real important distinction versus other communities that have them afterwards.
Well, what after going through one, do you feel that it was, so you had facilitators, it stayed on task. Was there any sort of conclusions that come out of these?
At this point, we're waiting to really make an assessment if there are any, what I would call aha moments. I don't think that there were. But I think that, well, one aha, to be quite frank with you, is that we need to make sure that the participants not only are, which we achieved, you have racial diversity, but we need socioeconomic diversity. Because what you probably had in this particular case, I was at a school board meeting, so I didn't attend, but I do have the notes, is that we probably had people who were middle class and above talking about issues associated with race. The question is, how do we encourage people who are the working class, who are addressing perhaps a different set of issues or more profound set of issues than the ones who are attending the meeting? So that's going to be, I think, one of the things that we have to work a little harder at.
What is the vetting process like? Because when you go onto your website, again, togetherlexington.com, and go to the Courageous Conversations to sign up. You get to choose which of the topics that you'd want to go through. And it prompts you to put in your race, ethnicity, age range, and zip code, probably for that sort of sense of what, you know, socioeconomic class, mm-hmm. right? Is it sort of, do you have a... Do you have allotments set for each of those? Is it meant to, do you have to do any sort of vetting, or is it first come, first serve? So I have a lot of questions about who.
I was going to say it's all of those.
Yeah.
Because what you really want to do is to make sure here's the reason why we're having the second one on race.
Yeah.
Is that we were trying to limit it to 35 people because it's manageable from the standpoint of being able to have it, have the facilitators there. And what happened was that there were more people than 35 that wanted to participate. So we said, we need to have a second one. At the same time, what you really have to be concerned about is that it wasn't made up of one specific group of citizens. Because if you're going to have a conversation, what you don't want to have is a conversation with a monolithic group.
Right. Echo chamber.
Yes. So we talked about it and understood the sensitivity of asking the person's race and age, et cetera. But given the fact that it wasn't control, meaning that we didn't specifically say to people, we want you to participate, in which you would then be taking care of the race norming, the age norming, et cetera, because people were doing it randomly, we needed to be able to make sure to the extent possible that it was, let's assume for the sake of this discussion, 50-50.
Right.
And so we were able to accomplish that. And at this point, it doesn't appear that anyone was offended because that information was asked.
We're talking to Bill Farmer. He's the president and CEO of United Way of the Bluegrass. They and he are one of 17 sponsors of Together Lexington, a new initiative to improve quality of life in the community. I do have one more kind of question as to the focus of the. I have multiple questions. What the focus of the community conversations are. It was brought to me by Chuck C., our general manager, that perhaps these conversations stemmed out of a forums to aid the comprehensive plan of the city, the five-year these are completely separate.
These are completely separate.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck C., for that information.
Were they inspired somewhat by the five-year plan?
No, actually what happened again is the McClatchy newspapers had this kind of program in a variety of cities. And I'll give you an example. In one city, they decided to have this group of people to meet. And what they determined is that there was an issue with benches, bus benches or facilities for people to rest.
Sure.
And so what they said is, we're going to take the money and build benches and paint them. And so that's what they decided to do as part of this organization. So there was nothing that said it had to be as esoteric as what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's by community. So we could have decided that we wanted to paint the utility boxes that are on Main Street that would improve the appearance of the city, of downtown. We could have in fact, that was one of the discussions that we had. What this group decided is that we wanted something that was far more meatier than that, at least for the first one.
Okay, so that's first out of the gate. Is there is it intended to be beautification aesthetic type of projects?
It could. Again, it depends on what the group decides. And I can't remember the city. It seems like it was a city in the Midwest that made the decision that that's what they wanted to do, was work on beautification of downtown.
Now, you're taking suggestions from the community, and you can visit and make suggestions for your projects to Lexington on Facebook, Together Lexington, on Twitter, @2Gether Lex, or you can email them info@togetherlexington.com. Have you received a fair number of suggestions at this point? Do you guys have a big whiteboard like Mel Kiper's draft board? Is it?
Yeah, we do have the draft board. And in fact, we had that information before we made the decision on these. And we just believe that this was an important discussion. My position, our organization's position, is, as I stated, that Lexington is a great place to live. It is unique in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. It is progressive, it's conservative, it's liberal. People are willing to talk. We don't tend to cancel each other out. And so what happens is that if we're not having conversations and we're talking with each other, we're talking around each other. And I will say it, while it did not come up in our discussions, but here's how I've approached these kinds of conversations. Because if you recall, I said at United Way, we had community conversations. And what started with ours was right after the riots in Ferguson, Missouri. And the question that we asked ourselves internally was, if 50 years ago, people had courageous and community conversations and understood the issues, would the problem still have occurred? And the argument we said or had internally at the United Way was probably not. And so if you're not reaching out and talking before an issue arises, now typically what happens is that issues occur, problems occur, and then people say we need to talk.
Or they bubble under the surface.
Sure.
People kind of ignore it.
Well, let me give you another example. So we were in Charleston, South Carolina. Well, the next year we were in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so you had all these great conversations from the leaders in Charlotte talking about where the city was. Now, I lived in Charlotte. In fact, moved from Charlotte here. Worked on the chamber in Charlotte. I understood the warts and the issues in Charlotte that never came up, except on the very last day when people were saying, well, but we do have these other kinds of issues. And so the city leaders in Charlotte were surprised when they had the riots there, because they have only listened to a minor group or few groups regarding what the real issues and concerns were. Well, we don't need that to happen in Lexington before we have these kinds of conversations.
What is your perception? Is Lexington similar? Is it potential like a lot of these other southern type towns?
I can't speak to that because that's not the conversations that we have at the United Way, and we talk with our partnering agencies and people in the community is very different. As I was talking with someone earlier today, the mayor said that unemployment in Lexington is 2.6%. We have virtually full employment. If you want to work, you have a job. What is different here versus many other places is that the issues are associated with the working poor. You have people who are working 2.5 jobs in order to make ends meet because they aren't making a family sustainable wage. Louisville, as an example, is the 10th poorest city in America. Cincinnati is the 2nd poorest city in America. So the kinds of issues that you will be dealing with in Louisville and in Cincinnati, in my opinion, are very different than the kinds of issues that we deal with in Lexington. And that's why these kinds of conversations are important, so that we don't have a false sense of security, but also recognize that there are things that we need to work on.
What are some of the more unexpected or interesting suggestions or points made that you've heard so far?
Regarding projects.
Projects, race relations, whatever you've discussed, or is something with the United Way?
Well, again, one of them was actually painting the utility boxes. because if you note, I didn't notice them until someone brought it up, that they're all gray.
Yeah.
And so they said, if you would just work on beautification and paint them, some vibrant colors, that would be great.
Are they all different colors?
No, they're all gray.
They're all still gray.
They're all gray.
Is that the intention? Are we going to go? Are we running the gamut of our palette?
Well, you could. But
it's going to be blue.
And that would require a community courageous conversation.
It's interesting. Lexington. One of the reasons I'm not from here, but one of the things that I've loved the most about it is this mural project that they have all over the place. It really gives and like really fantastic murals. So if so to save me a telecommunication, should hire some local artists. Write that down, Ben. We're going to have local artists on to paint the utility boxes. We're talking to Bill Farmer. He's the president and CEO of United Way of the Bluegrass. In your capacity with the United Way, what sort of projects do you want, foresee, or wish that Together Lexington would take on?
Well, we have a project, that we call the Big Bowl Goal. Our goal with the United Way is to move 10,000 families to self-sufficiency. And so as we look at our partnership with others with Together Lexington is how do we move people to self-sufficiency? And quite frankly, when people ask me, what does self-sufficiency mean? It means to be able to take care of myself by myself. You can't ask for any more simpler answer to what it is that you want to be able to expect. And so what you have in Lexington, I think, is people who are very interested in beautification, in parks, and those are great things. I mean, it goes to the quality of life. What the United Way works on is the quality of healthcare, education, and those kinds of issues. They're not mutually exclusive. It's what is necessary to make this a great community to live. So from our perspective, what we're doing is we just want to hear what people's issues and concerns are. And as we work with our agency, partnering agencies, we fund 82 agencies and 140 programs in the Bluegrass region.
Wow.
So as we are working on our funding model, we can take into consideration the comments and issues that people are raising in these courageous conversations.
Can you give us a few examples of the type of agencies we're talking about?
We have agencies like Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. We have agencies, organizations like First Baptist Church Bracktown, where they have the BMW program, which is the program to encourage African-American males for academic achievement. So there's just a whole host of initiatives and projects that we fund.
What are the we're talking about like the obstacles? You're saying that that Lexington has one of the lowest unemployment rates compared to what would be the national average? Would you say?
I would say national average is probably between 5 and 6%.
And we're in the two.
We're at about 2.4, 2.5, so it's about 50%.
So you're working full-time, maybe you even have a second job. What are then like the obstacles for you to self-sufficiency?
Child care.
Right, yeah.
That's a main one. And I use as an example today, what we've learned by trying to move people to self-sufficiency is that self-sufficiency is a point in time. when you're the working poor is a point in time because you're going to work every day. Mm-hmm. So let's just use how this might work. In the months of January and February, you're filing your income taxes. You get your income tax refund. Many people who are working, the working poor, are eligible for earned income tax credits, which means these are tax credits or refunds greater than their traditional tax refund. Hmm. So you have an infusion of cash. Often what happens is that cash is used to pay off debts
right.
while you didn't have those funds. So let's assume at that point you're self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. 3 months later, 4 months later, your alternator in your car goes out. It stops. You've got a $1,500 bill in which you have to pay cash for. You're not quite as self-sufficient in April or May as you were in January when you receive. Let's assume that you then take care of that. Around September, October, your kids are going back to school. You have to take care of school clothes, etc. You can see how it can fluctuate depending mm-hmm. on what's going on in your life when you're the working poor.
I see. So a lot of these programs and agencies, are they meant to sort of help bridge that gap when these fluctuations occur?
In some cases, yes. In other cases, it's to put them in a position where they can improve their educational opportunities, which would allow them to move into different jobs that will pay a family sustainable wage.
Is this, are we talking about all the way up through universities? I mean, is it postgraduate? Like what type of education are we talking about? Job training, all of the above?
It could be certification. It could be sure. post-secondary education, which in theory would be anything after the graduating from high school. So I think that suggests a great opportunity. Here's what I will tell you. The last stats that I saw, that 41% of the people who work in Lexington work in jobs that do not pay a family sustainable wage.
What usually defines a family sustainable wage?
In our particular case, what we say that a family sustainable wage, we've run the numbers, and mm-hmm. we've taken into consideration all kinds of costs, is that the average person should be making around $15 to $17.50 an hour in order to make a family sustainable wage. When you take into consideration the cost of daycare or health care, the cost of food, housing, et cetera.
That sounds like it should be a two-person income, two people both having that wage to sustain a family. But or is it just one?
But if the overwhelming majority of single homes or single-family households, mm-hmm. while $1,750 sounds like it should be a two-income family.
Well, I'm saying double $1,750 sounds like a much more sustainable. I don't know how you'd get by on $1,750 if you're a single parent with let's say, two children.
And that's why we're having these conversations.
No, sure,
absolutely. Because, again, what we have is low unemployment, and we have people who are working every single day to make ends meet. They have kids that are in school. Kids have issues or concerns that the teacher wants to talk with them, the parent about, but the parent can't attend the parent-teacher conference because they're working.
Yeah.
We're talking to Bill Farmer. He's the president and CEO of United Way of the Bluegrass. He's in here talking about Together Lexington. It's an initiative to fund projects and have conversations to improve Lexington. So you said that you've had one meeting on race relations. You have another one planned. You might do even one further than that. Along the lines of, you know, that being hand in hand, the United Way and this initiative Together Lexington, do you intend as one of the projects to have these meetings go on past the ones that are simply scheduled right now?
Well, I want to make sure that it's clear that the United Way is not driving this initiative.
Absolutely. Right? But you're a part of this for a reason.
Well, we're an active participant. And so the decisions are made by the group of 17.
Right.
And so at this point, it's unclear.
But I'm just thinking, what would be, you know, if it's just painting utility boxes, why have the president and CEO of the United Way involved, right? I mean, I guess it's
sure.
your input here is in some way to, you know, it's you know, benefit people outside of just seeing this aesthetic value, and I see that in this first these first projects, these conversations that you're having, because this, just talking about the lack of sufficiency. I mean, I wasn't aware of all of this information. Like, we're having the conversation right now, right?
Yes, we're having a conversation now.
Like, this seems like it would be kind of right in your wheelhouse to facilitate these conversations on a regular, semi-regular basis, without any real concrete suggestions that it feels like you guys are moving forward with. Are these courageous conversations something that you would lobby with your fellow sponsors to continue in the future past April 27th?
I think it depends on where we are at a certain point.
Do you think you're going to get an aha moment out of these?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. I mean, again, I would love that it would to occur. I have raised, as an example, whether or not we want to expand beyond April to address women's issues. Sure. I mean, because one of the interesting things about the challenge that we have is to be timely and relevant. So sure. We meet as a group once a month, and we're talking about the kinds of issues that are occurring at that time. So we have this group of 6, 7, or 8 community conversations. So the question then becomes, what happens after you finish the last one? And that's still to be determined. What I'm hoping is that we continue to have these discussions. Now, let's be clear that once those discussions are being held, we will provide the information to either governmental organizations or agencies that can help address the issue. Because to have a conversation or discussion and not be able to tell the people who are engaged in it that something else is going to happen, and what the Herald Leader has graciously agreed to is allowing people to write op-eds. So not only will you be able to be in the meeting and have the conversation, but you also would be able to write your position and have it published in the newspaper. So this is more than just having a conversation with friends and drinking, you know, Diet Cokes,
right?
And yeah. Eating chicken fingers. It is about what are we ultimately going to do to help make this a better community?
And you brought up Rufus Friday earlier. That's sort of his contribution to this. Do you feel as though like this committee is being improved by all the different, I mean, there wasn't diversity in terms of ethnicity, as you pointed out, or race, but there's all these different backgrounds coming together, these people who are luminaries like yourself in the community. Do you feel like that is, I mean, how beneficial do you feel like that is to this initiative?
Well, I think it's important because it's interesting. The group of 17, as we're trying to decide the issues and concerns, what you have are minorities, you have women, you have white males, and the discussions that we're having can be a little uncomfortable. And what we are very sensitive to the level of discomfort that may occur. But we also are trying to enlighten those who are participating in the discussions about how others feel. And that's why and you can tell based on the conversations that we're having, I mean, police and crime, drugs and heroin, that these are timely issues and concerns in the community that we ultimately believe as a group of 17 that we can help make a difference.
That's excellent. Bill Farmer, President and CEO of the United Way of the Bluegrass, here with us. Their initiative, Together Lexington, they're having conversations called Courageous Conversations. They're being held now. You can sign up at togetherlexington.com, and they cover a large range of issues. It's not just race relations. Although everything in some ways seems that it's a little...
It's all connected.
Gentrification, police crime, drugs, heroin, affordable housing, homelessness, LGBT inclusion, and potentially women's issues in the future. It's been excellent having you in studio, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity of spending a few minutes with you.
Yes, us too. We'll be right back on Bluegrass Bios. This is WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio.
The Lexington Fayette County Health Department provides confidential family planning services, providing birth control, pregnancy testing and counseling, pap testing, pelvic exams, and more. Services are available for uninsured, Appointments are available now. For more information, call 859-288-2483, option 2.
On Bluegrass Bios, I'm Kyle. He's Ben.
Hey, Kyle.
All right, we just had on Bill Farmer. He's president and CEO of United Way of the Bluegrass. Nice man.
Yeah, great voice for radio, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
If you agree, tweet Kyle at Bluegrass Bios.
Yeah, please do Twitter. That. Please, somebody do that. It's lonely over here. That's going to do it for me for the first hour of the show this week. Stay tuned for the... Hang on a second. I know her name. It's Lori Houlihan. She is right. The Arts and Cultural Director Director of Arts and Cultural Affairs for Mayor Gray.
Cool.
So Chuck C is going to come in and take over from here. I'm done for today. You guys enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll see you next week. And you too, Ben.
See you next week, Kyle.
Do you like Chipotle burritos? What if you could eat burritos and support Lexington Community Radio at the same time? Good news, you can! You can join us at the Chipotle by the University of Kentucky campus on Saturday, January 28th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Chipotle will be hosting a fundraiser benefiting our radio station. Just tell the cashier that you are there to support Lexington Community Radio, and 50% of the proceeds will be donated to us. It's that simple. Again, that's the Chipotle located at 345 South Limestone on January 28th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.